The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's April the 4th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the day's agricultural news, including these items. Japan continues to insist its own inspectors need to be in U.S. beef processing plants. The U.S. Supreme Court says it will not take up a Nebraska law restricting corporate farms. That law was struck down by a lower court. And in another case, the High Court has sided with environmentalists on the issue of global warming. A bit later in the program, we'll visit the university at Patnagar, India. That's where I spent some time last month exploring the connections between this land-grant university and that one. Also, we'll talk with Drew Lerner today. He's out of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Thank you to the 82 AM 580 agricultural listeners who contributed a preliminary total of $9,402 during our just-ended and much shorter Spring Pledge Drive. Your support helped us to raise a preliminary grand total of $192,000 for WILL AM and FM. In all, more than 1,100 listeners, including 140 new supporters, joined the Friends of WILL. Your support will help make agricultural programming possible for another year. If you did not get a chance to pledge, you can still do so on the World Wide Web. Simply go to willag.org and click on the pledge link at the top of the page. Again, Todd and I thank you for your terrific support.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The May wheat at 431 and a quarter for the soft red, 12 and a quarter higher. July futures at 446 for the harvest month, up 11 and a quarter. September contract up 10 and a half cents at 457 and a half. May corn futures at 359 and a quarter, up 13 cents for the day. July futures up 13 and a quarter at 371 and a half. And December contract at 380 and a half, up 13 cents. May soybeans down 2 3/4 at 761. July at 777 and 3/4, down 2 3/4. And November's at 805 and a quarter. They were off 2 cents for the day. May bean meal futures down $1.30 at 213.20. May bean oil at 32.57. That's up 20 cents. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby April feeder cattle at 110.80, up $2, or rather up to 225 for the day, or 22.5 for the day. And the April live cattle up 52.5 at 99 dollars and a nickel. June futures there at 99.55 were up 55 cents. Lean hog futures at 65.37 and a half unchanged on the afternoon. Taking a look at the outside markets, crude oil trading the May at $64.40 a barrel, down 24 cents. The CRB index at 316.63. That's off 285. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,525. It's up 15 points at this hour. And speaking of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, I thought I'd pass this note on to you. It was sent in by listener Jeff Wilson. He wrote this email to me last night. He says the corn market, of course, has dropped 24% of its value, and it doesn't even make a mention on CNN. But if the Dow dropped 24%, which would have put it at 97.90, nothing else would get mentioned. People would be jumping out of buildings. Thanks, he says. He just had to vent a little. I think that probably says a lot all on its own, and we'll let that statement stand.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been a rough several days since the USDA released its market reports on Friday morning, but finally got a little reprieve from the down move, and the market's moved up pretty good today, sharply higher, in fact, in both the corn and the wheat. What'd you make of the trade?
Well, it has been a shockwave, not only with the reduced feed usage that was talked about, also the large acreage. This morning, it had a little something to do with weather. Not only was it colder, but it was wetter. And at an Outlook meeting we had last night, we talked about what if we have a million acres shifted away from corn into other commodities. You know, it probably would make a 20 to 25 cent adjustment in price, and the informant people this morning talked about it, and they said 25 to 30 cents. So that was it's an interesting deal about the too wet. Now, too cold, 28 to 30 degrees in Memphis river bottoms and the big Mississippi river bottoms down there. And yes, there is corn up. There's corn up at mounds, and the early noon weather forecast from one meteorologist that I talked to personally said that it's the colder air is moving further east and south, and of course that goes into the Carolinas. There's a lot of corn raised in the Carolinas and Georgia. And one of the weaknesses, of course, in the corn market, the cash corn market, if we do have all this corn planted in the southeast and the Delta and Texas, you know, we probably will miss out on that early basis flat price rise that occurs late in the season, because some of that demand will be met with that production. It is interesting because, you know, you can get into a argument whether corn 3 inches or 4 inches tall will suffer from any kind of damage. 1 year in Oakland here we had 20 to 30 bushel loss, and the next year it was not noticeable. But this time it's 2 or 3 days, and it is going to get cold. And it one thing that we all agree on, it doesn't do the crop any good. And also the cold temperatures on jointed wheat, it's 24 degrees. We don't think it'll do much damage in Kentucky or southern Illinois. But I'm not sure how tall the wheat is in the Carolinas, and also about half, I think, of the wheat crop is jointed in Kansas, and it is vulnerable, I think, there to see a 24-degree temperature or lower. All added up to some unusual weather and some other unusual situations to what if, but it was a turnaround day in the corn and wheat market anyway.
You know, if you take a look at the marketplace, it was a turnaround both in the corn and the wheat. The corn lead month and the corn harvest month charts on the dailies looking better, still not trading all that well, still have to move a long ways higher to fill those gaps. But if you go into the continuation chart, you see a picture that's not nearly so nice. It looks like it'll be a tough haul to get back up even to the, I don't know, 375 level or something along those lines. Potentially, there's a pretty good size gap left to fill. Do you think it's possible?
We asked questions from the group last night of how many would switch back, and do you believe the numbers, and do you think this is the best game in town, and do you think the insurance, there'll be some changes where people will move over. And it was a shock to the farming community that it was this large. And, you know, there is some feeling that it's maybe overdone as far as the total acreage. There was some people that said that they would consider moving back, a little more in the soybean area. And, of course, this wet weather forecast has also got the attention. Those are all, you know, I mentioned once time at an Outlook meeting that there's a lot of ships at the bottom of the ocean, and in the hulls there's a lot of charts. So, you know, it's looking back instead of at the future, but the USDA did do a lot of destruction to the marketplace with that feed usage situation and these big numbers. Now, granted, these are preliminary numbers, and there has been a lot of damage. The good news is that ethanol usage seems to be improving. Last night we heard that there was stories about some very strong possibilities of a new ethanol plant at Clinton, Indiana. We've heard about Cayuga, Indiana, and, of course, some land being purchased recently in Danville, Illinois. So, you know, there is a feeling that with this cheaper corn, more acres, there's a lot of new money that is coming back into the Midwest and investing some big bucks for some big ethanol. So that's the good news. And, of course, we still have to get the crop planted, and we are several days from getting that done.
Well, I guess the question for most producers probably is not, will I be able to sell $4 corn? Maybe it is. But my guess is they really want to know, what kind of bottom do you think there might be? Is a bottom at 340, at 320? Where do you think a bottom?
When that question was asked last night, and eloquently, we basically all said, if we do have the 90 million acres and we do have a normal rainfall, we unfortunately look like that we can go down on that 275 to 280 market price range. The good news is that demand, it will improve next year, and if the Secretary holds to his previous statement that we're not going to open up the conservation reserve, you know, we will be able to demand and grow our way out of this, you know, that price level. The big thing is it's a big shock to the system, and we did see this preliminary guess on this. Feed usage, gee whiz, we have more cattle on feed, we have more hogs on feed, maybe a little less poultry, but the exports are still good, and we still see this, you know, the ethanol thing that's caught everybody's imagination worldwide. That's still the big driving force. And I think the government debate on this feed usage is still a debatable part of the equation, but it's a factor right now, and it has really basically destroyed the basis and flat price on the futures.
And, of course, there's still the policy debates out there and several bills, not bills, but pieces of floated legislation that could improve the ethanol plant or ethanol program in the longer term, over the next 5, 10, 15, even 30 years out, I suppose.
Well, you know, that's longer term, and of course, the commodity market is as short as tomorrow's opening pre-call.
It always is.
But the big thing here is it does seem like that there has been a lot of grain marketed, and that part's well intact. It's the shorter range things that we can focus in on weather and prices between the corn-bean ratio and things like that that can affect the market just 1 or 2 percentage points, and that's a big big deal at the present time.
Paul, we appreciate you being with us today.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region in northern and east central Indiana, mostly cloudy, some scattered light snow showers and flurries elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 20 in northwestern Illinois to 30 in the far south. A wind advisory in effect, by the way, for northern Illinois today and most of northern Indiana through this evening. A freeze expected across all of Illinois and Indiana during the next several nights. The National Weather Service has issued a freeze warning for much of central and southern Illinois and most of Indiana overnight tonight and into tomorrow morning. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural newscast.
In agricultural news, a telephone call last night between top U.S. and Japanese officials did little to break disagreements over Japan's import of U.S. beef. Japan continues to insist that Washington accept Japanese inspectors at U.S. meatpacking facilities as a condition to considering relaxing its beef restrictions. Japan said that's more important than the World Organization for Animal Health potentially awarding the U.S. a beef safety rating in May. The U.S. Supreme Court has declined to review a lower court's ruling that struck down a Nebraska constitutional law restricting corporate ownership of farms. Rob Robertson is Vice President of Governmental Relations for the Nebraska Farm Bureau.
Obviously, with corporations' involvement in agriculture, there's going to be some more players maybe out there in the livestock area, more players buying land. But I think the main thing is that producers just have to keep an eye on things and kind of report to their leadership around the state on what's happening, what's changing in agriculture, and what do we have to respond to.
Nebraska voters passed the ban in 1982. It generally prohibited corporations and certain other businesses from owning farmland or engaging in agricultural activity. In another case, the U.S. Supreme Court sided with environmentalists in its first examination of global warming. The High Court rebuked the Bush administration for refusing to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. In a 5-4 decision, the court ruled that the Environmental Protection Agency violated the Clean Air Act by improperly declining to regulate new vehicle emissions standards to control the pollutants scientists say contribute to global warming. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says South Korea's reluctance to remove zero-tolerance restrictions on bone chips of U.S. beef imports could doom a free trade deal between the two nations.
We're talking about a free trade agreement with the ninth largest economy in the world, bigger than the economy of Mexico, as an example. So this trade agreement is going to be very beneficial to us, but we're not going to allow the non-tariff trade barriers of their not taking our beef when science has answered it for most other countries. And as a practical matter, you can't do anything other than assume that the reaction of Korea so far is a desire just to keep our beef out and to use a non-scientific excuse for doing it.
South Korea did say it would respect a declaration on the safety of U.S. beef from the OIE in May and reopen its market to U.S. beef in what they say is a reasonable time. Indiana Michigan Power has announced it will participate in a request for a proposal seeking up to 100 megawatts of wind energy to serve its customers in Indiana and Michigan. I&M would be the second utility company in Indiana to announce plans to seek wind power. Last year, Duke Energy announced an agreement to purchase up to 100 megawatts of wind-generated electricity from a wind farm under development in Benton County in northwestern Indiana. And the U.S., European Union, India, and Brazil will meet next week in Delhi to try to break an impasse on the Doha round of world trade talks. The new negotiations will take place on April 11th and 12th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, you know, 5 decades ago, the people of India were on the brink of starvation, and then President Eisenhower called on the land grant system in the U.S. to help solve that problem. He promised them 1,000 agricultural experts would converge on that subcontinent. Those that came from the University of Illinois helped to establish the G.B. Pont University of Agriculture and Technology. And their successors have returned to Pontnagar from the U of I, that to rekindle this decades-old relationship with what today is noted as the birthplace of the Green Revolution. G.B. Pont was the first of more than 30 institutions in India to be patterned on the U.S. land grant system. The dean of the University of Illinois Agricultural College, Bob Easter, along with 5 others, toured a small portion of the 38,000 acres that belongs to the North Central India campus. They saw a large and very active agricultural experiment station and eventually made their way to the wheat plots, where the U of I team heard just how today's top varieties were performing.
This is a genotype, in fact, variety, which occupies the place in top yielding varieties. And presently it is being cultivated in IGP, Indo-Gangetic Plains, occupying roughly 4 to 5 million hectare area, single variety. Wow. Of course, now...
It was wheat and rice that spurred the Green Revolution not long after the establishment of G.B. Pont in 1960. Today, the university continues to push agricultural development in order to feed India's more than 1 billion people. Like the land-grant system in the U.S., the research plots are used to develop and performance test varieties. After passing through those tests, the vice chancellor of G.B. Pont, P.L. Gautam, says the varieties are grown out and distributed to farmers in north central India by a private-public partnership company.
The company takes up only those varieties which are released, in your case registered, and in our case these are released. We are also going to register them now. And then we take up the seed production.
Gautam used a PowerPoint presentation to explain how the company worked and was owned by the private sector, Indian farmers, and G.B. Pont University. The U of I team, led by the dean of the College of ACES, spent time learning how G.B. Pont mirrored the three-pronged mission of all land grants in the U.S., teaching, research, and outreach, and discussing the potential for future cooperation between the University of Illinois and the University at Pontnagar, India, in each of those areas. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. One other note from Pontnagar, a memorandum of understanding, an MOU, between the two institutions has been signed that will further cement the link between Pontnagar, India, and the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
Programming on WILL is made possible in part by Wachovia Securities, 1605 South State Street in Champaign. Wachovia starts with your life and plans your money around it. More information is available from Tom Manolakis, First Vice President Investments, at 351-8694.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market on this Wednesday afternoon is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Hey, a little rally in the corn and the wheat pits today. How did basis handle that?
Well, you know, really, since the board has just, you know, bailed out after that report, basis levels for trains have improved maybe 3 to 4 cents. You know, nothing drastic. More on the nearby, and as the board goes up, then the basis kind of tends to drift down a little bit. But really, the farmers have slammed the bin doors. They're more concerned about, you know, getting in the field, putting their anhydrous down, and getting ready to plant. So there's not any farmers selling, so hopefully these basis levels on the nearby won't deteriorate too much further.
How much rain did you get yesterday and the day before?
Now, here, we've really been spared, if you want to say so, and it's still awfully wet out here, but we had basically an inch yesterday. Now, east of here, they had as much as 2 inches, and then north of here, they've had 3 to 4. But in here, I'd say we've probably had an inch and a half to an inch and three quarters in the last 10 days.
And farmers are saying they'll be in the field if it doesn't rain again within a week's time. If we get, we're not going to get the heat, but maybe if we get some sunshine and some wind?
Some of these fields, it's so chilly outside now. They absolutely will not dry up. Now, they were on the sand ground in some places yesterday before the rain putting anhydrous down, but some of these clay fields, Todd, it's going to take a long time for them to dry out.
I was through your area. It's just a gorgeous area on the way from Terre Haute to Bloomington on the way over to Nashville. I was there over the weekend, and you live in a gorgeous area, you really do. That's a beautiful drive from here all the way over, and if somebody gets that chance, going down Route 1 along the Illinois-Indiana border and across is a great drive to take. Tell me about the basis levels going to the southeast and what's happening with the train values.
Well, you know, I'm just very, very concerned, I think, probably as much about new crop values as I am the nearby. They're just at extremely low levels for this time of year and may possibly get worse. I think everybody, end users, everybody is just expecting an onslaught of corn, you know, this fall, and so they just feel like it's going to be very tough to handle, and values are awful. They just really are, and they could get worse. I'm hopeful that if we do have some weather problems, we'll see a little spike in these basis levels. But at this point, it looks like it's going to take the board and the flat price to do the work, because basis levels just don't seem to want to respond.
And one more question before I let you go for the afternoon. When you look at old crop, given normal growing conditions and a good crop, will there be a pop sometime in July, do you think? Will we be short enough old crop going in that there will be a pop in that marketplace?
I think there will be. We've talked to a lot of farmers around here. They don't have nearly the unpriced corn out on the farm that they had this time last year. There's a lot of empty bins out there. There's not going to be the space problem here that there is going to be in other parts of the country. And, yes, I think there will be a spike later on during the summer.
And your bids for the day?
Our bids for the day, cash corn 334, beans 722, new crop wheat today 351.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Joins us on Wednesday afternoons. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day. The regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Democrat Barack Obama says he's humbled by the support that's brought $25 million into his campaign fund this year. The U.S. Senator told WLS Radio in Chicago that he's pleased with that his campaign has been able to raise that amount of money without taking PAC money or federal lobbyists' money, in his words. Obama's campaign announced that it's raised $25 million for his presidential bid in the first 3 months of this year. That puts him on par with frontrunner Hillary Rodham Clinton, who's raised $26 million. Two bars in Champaign's Campustown area aren't serving liquor for at least a portion of this weekend. While the Clybourne's liquor license has been suspended for Saturday and Sunday, the city has pulled Bar Louie's license since last Sunday. It won't be able to serve alcohol again until this coming Sunday. Mayor Jerry Schweihart says the Clybourne is being punished for serving underage people, violating happy hour rules, and warning customers of undercover police. Bar Louie's license was pulled because it's a restaurant license, and the city says the establishment was doing too much of its business in alcohol sales. Urbana's Carle Foundation Hospital has a new building to turn to if a disaster leads to a surge in hospital patients. Carle has a mobile surge facility that can turn any building with a lot of space and backup power into a temporary hospital. It signed an agreement with the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District to use its University Avenue garage in that event. The parents of Purdue University student Wade Steffi raised more than $17,000 with an art auction to go toward a memorial fund for their son. Steffi was found dead in a dormitory utility room in West Lafayette more than 2 months after he was reported missing. The money will go to scholarships and to fund campus police training. It'll be a tense next few nights at Champaign's Curtis Orchard and other fruit growers in Illinois and Indiana. Forecasts call for freezing temperatures over much of the two-state area over the next 3 to 4 overnights, and Curtis's employees will try to keep budding trees from freezing at a critical time. But a spokesman says he's cautiously optimistic that cloud cover or breezes will keep temperatures reasonable. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Drew Lerner is out of the office this afternoon. Our own Ed Kieser is here. Probably just as important for us to talk about the local weather forecast as much as anything. Cold weather due, as we just heard the newscast from Tom Rogers talking about the fruit supply in the Midwest and here in Champaign County and a potential problem that it might have. Ed, what do we see over the next several days?
Cold weather. That's it. Cold weather for the next several days. We'll have below freezing temperatures throughout Illinois and Indiana and surrounding areas through the weekend, probably through Monday morning. So tomorrow morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, Monday morning, temperatures below freezing. Daytime highs a bit above freezing, but not very warm. So those unseasonably warm soil temperatures are going to drop off a bit.
And it dropped off below freezing this morning here in Champaign County, 30 degrees now. The outside temperature.
Still below freezing.
Still below freezing. How much lower do we go at night from here?
Well, I have a fork, not very far because we have cloud cover, but probably down to around 24 tonight. 20s throughout Illinois and Indiana. 20 up north away from Lake Michigan to 30 in the Ohio River Valley tonight. Probably around Friday night into Saturday is when we'll be the coldest, and With that, I'm forecasting a low of around 20 degrees here, so some places will be getting into the teens.
And that will be down long enough to do some serious damage. I think it's 27 or 8 degrees at 3 hours. Overnight, we'll do some damage to a crop, and we'll be plenty low enough for long enough, won't we?
Well, for those crops that are vulnerable, and of course with the warm weather we had the last week of March and the first couple of days of April, that got everything really blooming. So that is, of course, of concern. Of course, what's not planted yet is not affected. So it could be a lot worse if it was a little later in the season.
Indeed, but we do have a soft red, a spring red, and a hard red winter wheat crop out there. And we'll have to keep a close eye on those. I did see
sure.
that Emerson Nafziger, the crop scientist here on campus, agronomist who takes care of a lot of warnings, has released some preliminary programming, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the programs tomorrow and the next day with Emerson maybe, and see what kind of damage might be done to the wheat crop. We appreciate you being with us very much today.
Well, my pleasure. I'll just say, yeah, with the warm weather we had leading up to this, that's what makes this cold snap especially makes things vulnerable. So we'll be looking forward to hearing those reports.
All right. Thanks much, Ed. Ed Kieser is the chief meteorologist here at WILL. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. You have a good afternoon.